So you're a member of CITR in Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR in Discorder card for $20 for discounts around downtown at
Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, Sakura's Classical Records, the Cinematheque, Vinyl Records, and the Fall Tattooing.
Holiday season, you're invited to the first annual presentation of the...
So she wanna go to Soho. I just took one sip, all them cars moving slow-mo. New supermodel babe, tryna keep it on the low-low. Boca with me one day, girl, your heart's just so cold. Said that I'd give you the world and you turn it to a snow globe. Oh, baby, now they taking photos. Me and my red cup in the cut, girl, I'm so low. Dolo, head in the club, girl, I won't go. I got niggas looking for me, coming for my whole soul. Trying to get me, they think they slicky, I'm on road though. I got all those sexy pictures of you wearing no clothes. I don't post those, you know the flow so cold. This mic froze over, cause he know I'm frozo. Everything I wear on the air, it's the wardrobe. Fuck the popo, bounces like Poco. See what you do to me, babe, I'm loco. Hit me on the phone, say she wanna go to Soho. I'm sick of chillin', sittin' in the hills, reading Osho. She said I wanna go to Paris and I want a real kimono. I'll get it poppin' with my partners, but we gotta fit a mojo. They got that kind of fitted swag, fuckin' with it, that's a no-no. We got an orange gym and a new whiff and an orange gym, and I think about to go to Florence then. I'm a foreign shit. You endorsing it. It was porcelain, I had a competition in a tournament. I was trying hanging like an ornament. The poets asked me, am I bored of this? Borderline torturous. The way your voice comes through your lips, I said she wanna go to Soho. I just took one sip, all them cars moving slow-mo. New supermodel babe, tryna keep it on the low-low. Boca with me one day, girl, your heart's just so cold. Said that I'd give you the world and you turn it to a snow globe.
Good morning. It's Thursday, November 29th. It's the last Thursday here in November. Sometimes this is Thanksgiving, but it's not. It's crazy to think that 2018 is almost over. It seems like the year went by so fast. You're right now listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, we'll be having a good time. You'll be going down my path, learning a little bit about how I think and how this whole world is wrapped up. And I try to do a little bit of unraveling every week so that you can carry this thread into the weekend and really get a nice understanding, you know, about what's going on in the past week. Sometimes it's not even what's going on in the past week. Sometimes what's going on in the world today, or maybe in a few days in the future, or up to 6 days in the future, because then next Thursday you'll be tuning in again to figure it out exactly what happened. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here live from the most western part of Vancouver, deep in Pacific Spirit Park. Try to do our best to, you know, really get you right for the weekend. And if you've never listened to the show before, what we like to do here is we talk a little bit about what's going on here in Vancouver and BC, a little bit about what's going on in Canada in general, and then some interesting stories as we go into the weekend. There's always so much going on that it's hard to pick, but listen, I just bring you what's most interesting to me, and I thank you for listening. So while you're getting ready for school, getting ready for work, you know, maybe you're getting your kids, you know, in the car, you're trying to say, trying to educate them a little bit, some talk radio, or maybe you're at work right now and you're just thinking, shit, I need a break, you know, for an hour on Thursday. I feel like everybody can use like a little bit of a break, but let's get started with the weather. So here in Vancouver, we know that it's fall. And what the fall means is it's rained. It's rained for the last 6 days. Before that, we were pretty lucky with what the weather was looking like, particularly sunny. However, as we move into December, we can only hope and wish for those days. Tomorrow will be a high of 8 with a 60% chance of precipitation. Saturday should be only partially cloudy with only a 10% chance of precipitation. So you may be able to get outside. However, next week, the 1st through the 6th, will be 5 straight sunny days with 0% chance of precipitation. However, it will be cold as shit. So remember to bring your scarf and your sunglasses. You know, if you happen to be outside for like the 6 hours that it's light outside, you know, here in December, you know, as we move closer to the equinox and we move closer to the shorter and shorter days, it's just the beginning, because after that, the days will get longer again, and I can't wait for that. However, starting on the 7th through the 13th, it's going to be all rain. Fortunately for me, I won't be here. So I'm trying to skip out on all of the rain here in Vancouver as much as possible, because you don't really, in the summertime, you don't really remember about how rainy it is. It's just really easy to forget about. But then once the fall comes, you're just like, oh, this sucks. But it hasn't been as bad as last year, fortunately for us, but I don't know if you read the latest climate report. We won't talk about it, but you know, while global warming seems to be something that is devastating tens of millions of people all over the world, you know, and really causing some catastrophic events to happen, you know, fortunately for us, none of those things have happened here close to us, besides a few weeks of smog in the summer. And if we can get less rain because of global warming, I mean, you got to look at the silver linings in some of it, right? Like, we can't only focus on the bad things. Focus on some of the positives, like the California fires being finally contained, like over a month and nearly 150 people dead. And tens of thousands of homes burned, 15,000 homes burned down. The fires have finally been contained. Now, if you look on a map, it's a huge, huge amount of land and homes that have been burned down. But, you know, thankful for the firefighters. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Some of those people who are currently incarcerated, you know, risking their lives and going out and saving the fire. And just thank the fire for stopping, because I feel like, you know, without the fire wanting to stop, this would have gone on forever. Moving on to some things that are going on in Vancouver. So if you've never listened to the show before, here in Vancouver, there's only a few focuses on the news. You know, we like to talk about the housing here. We talk about homelessness and drug use here because those news stories have dominated the cycle here. But in the past, I don't want to say like month, I've been hearing more and more about crimes, like violent crimes that have been happening here in Vancouver, from shootings to stabbings. And it is worrisome. And that's why here on Off the Beaten Path, we are going to focus on the animals. We have so many animals. We got animal on animal violence. We got animal on human violence. And we have human on animal violence. And if you know me, these are the types of things that get me up in the morning. First, so a humpback whale that was found like 2 weeks ago near the Tawasin ferry terminal was, they did some investigating, and they found out that it was killed by a ship strike. So I would assume that a ship strike means that a boat hit the whale and with such impact and propeller violence that the whale died. And then it washed up on shore. And if you listened to the show before, you would know that I am mostly team animals when it comes to these types of things. You know, not that I root for the animals to win, but I root for the animals to put up a good fight. Like, I went to watch Creed 2 last night, and I thought it was a great movie. It was, when I say great movie, I mean great for, like, the Rocky Creed. It was very entertaining. I really, like, particularly in Creed, like, I'm watching a movie, and you forget that it's almost a movie. You know, because it's boxing, so it feels like boxing to me always feels a little staged, like a little bit produced. And that's what Creed felt like. But however, it's all about like the fight that Rocky, Apollo Creed, Adonis Creed, you know, that they're putting up. And sometimes they don't win, sometimes they do win. You know, at the end, they always win. But that's how I feel about the animals. Like, in the end, they're probably going to get us. And I'm rooting for them. But I'm not rooting for them to win every single time. And in this case, the whale lost. And so I feel like there's just like this myth that we like to purport whales as these all wise, like smart animals that are, you know, really just victims of human violence. You know, and I do agree for the most part that whales are pretty smart. Like, I watch killer whales do amazing things. I watch dolphins and all of these other big-ass whales that they put in tanks do crazy things. You see them do things in the wild. If you watch Blue Planet or Planet Earth or whatever animal show that you get high and watch. However, I feel that this humpback whales, maybe they might be on the lower spectrum of this whale intelligence, because it's not like these boats come out of nowhere. You know, these ferries are big. Like, I know whales are big, but these ferries are bigger. You know, the tankers are bigger. And I don't understand how a whale could possibly see one of these things and not get out of the way. Like, I recently saw a video where a hyena bit the testicles off of some type of big bison-like creature in Africa, and that was how it killed the animal. Now, I know that Taina probably learned that technique, you know, over generations, that they've learned that this is the easiest way to take down an animal. So I feel like if hyenas can learn over time, then humpback whales probably can learn too. And they could probably learn to stay the hell away from these big ass boats. Like, it's the ocean's huge. So humans, one. Animals, zero on this show. In the second act of this humans versus animals, I would say after you, before I talk about the story, last week we talked about a missionary who has been described as an American tourist, I say American terrorist, went to North Sentinel Island, and while he was trying to tell them about Jesus, they introduced him to Jesus. And with that, one of my coworkers who may listen to my show told me that I laugh at death too much. Now, I understand that one day I'm going to die. And knowing my lifestyle, I'll probably die in a way that will make some people chuckle. And listen, I'm okay with that, because you know why? I'll be dead. And I'll have lived an exciting life, hopefully. Not too exciting, but I'll be dead. And so I say this because I don't really like laugh at people dying. I just calling it what it is, I think. And this next story is a little sad, but I'm not going to shed a tear. So in the Yukon this past few days, a woman and her baby were attacked by a grizzly bear. So I read this and I was like, man, I don't want to talk about this on the radio. However, I feel like I'm obligated to hold a standard, you know. And anyways, so this family, these two individuals and their daughter moved up to the Yukon from Quebec so that they could engage in trapping over trapping season. And listen, I don't know about you, but where I'm from, trapping is dangerous. Not only is trapping dangerous, trapping usually ends up dead or in jail. And so it's interesting to see that in Canada, trapping might have a different definition. However, if you trap during the wrong season, you could end up in jail. And if you trap, you could end up clapped. So the grizzly bear, who didn't get caught in their trap, guess must have been a little angry, because when the husband came back from his day out, checking the traps or whatever trappers do, securing the bag, he came back and his wife and his 10-month-old daughter were sadly been killed by the bear, when then he shot the bear and killed the bear. And while you're like thinking like, man, that's crazy, animals won that round but lost at the same time, so I'm going to consider that a draw. So the animals today are 1-0-1 today. I mean, 0-1-1. If you listen to the show, this is probably the worst record the animals have had in a while. And there's nothing more to say, but when people go out into the wilderness, like, even if you aren't all the way in the Yukon and you're just here in North Van, you have to understand that there are significant risks that you're taking into your life when you go out there, because these bears don't give a shit about you or, you know, what you're watching on Netflix. They're not trying to figure out, you know, if you're a vegan or if you're non-vegan. They are there to defend their territory and eat. Now, I am surprised because I don't know much about bears, but I thought that they hibernate. I feel like late November, you know, post-Thanksgiving, itis would have kicked in, who would have been chilling, and everybody would have been safe. But that's not how it happened. I really do feel sorry for that man, one, because he has to bury his wife and his daughter, and if you play Red Dead Redemption, you know that when you shoot the bear or any of the animals with the gun, it turns what could have been a perfect pelt into a poor pelt, which sells for less money at the fence. Before we go into some other Vancouver news, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Got some more music for you. Check it out.
For you, I'm nearly on the edge. I'm about to jump in the view. I'm really not afraid of nothing. On everything, I gave everything and got nothing back. Ain't looking for it, no pet on backs. That ain't how we got, where the fuck we at? Mama called, where the fuck you at? On the road and ain't coming back. Into my 100 stacks, make 100 racks. And that 100 racks bring a bundle back. I was blowing gas like the honey badger. J.I.D. bitch, the money snatcher. Say la vie shit, I'm coming after everybody. Don't get the bloody splatter. I'm flying, I got my niggas fly too. Shit is like buddy passes. I wanna cry cause I'm numb inside. If you wonder why, ask what's the matter. Yeah. Cause I've been working hella hard. Shit ain't really working out. I've been praying to the Lord. Shit ain't really working out. I've been looking to the stars. Keep my head up in the clouds. Shit ain't really working out. Shit ain't really working out. Shit ain't really working out.
Don't explain what is there to gain.
Shit ain't really working out. Now I got a little bread. Got my niggas working out. Damn, baby, your ass fat. See you working out, shit. Then you got a new job. Tell me how that shit working out, shit. Heard you doing pretty good, yeah. People talk word of mouth. Wasn't around when you had the dirty house. Now they won't leave when you kick them out. These type of people can't stick around. Only down when it's lick around or the spliff around. That's why I don't fuck with niggas now. Well, I fuck with all my niggas. You know the difference. You've been living with tunnel vision. You and all of your friends are like Wonder Women. Wonder Woman working for it. If you ever wanted something, searching for a purpose, I see what you want. The difference in how you be using your gifts in the midst of the shit that you're dealing with. Really specific. You pay attention, panoramic. You got the vision like a fertile land. You attacking, you killing. Taking your teeth with the venom. Kind of like me with the instrumentals or the pen or the pencil. We're off the temple pimping. Since then, pimping, keep it sensible. Since you winning, you an object of ridicule. Objects appearing close. Than you ready for. Obviously, you don't know what's ahead, but that's the reason you could work. I've been working hella hard. Shit ain't really working out. I've been praying to the Lord. Shit ain't really working out. I've been looking to the stars. See my head up in the clouds. Shit ain't really working out. Shit ain't really working out. Shit ain't really working out.
Come on, bro. Come to the booty club one time. Throw some of that Dreamville money. Throw some of that Dreamville money at these hoes, bro. They got dreams too, nigga. They got shit to do too, nigga. They got dreams too, bro. Y'all dreams. Hey.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian. And for the next installment of What the Hell is Going On Here in Vancouver. So, if you have been following this for the past few weeks, you would know that there is an otter loose in the I don't even know how to say the park. You know what? There's actually otters loose everywhere. So there's otters eating baby sturgeon. There's otters eating koi fish here in Vancouver, particularly at the Sat Yan Sen Garden in Chinatown. And so last week we talked about this, and the otter had only eaten three koi. Now the otter is up to 10. This otter is playing no games. See, what I imagined what was going to happen last week was that they were going to catch the otter because they talked about how they had narrowed in on its lair, and somehow the otter managed to get away. Now, I'm no scientist. However, I feel that in the city with the resources that Vancouver has, particularly in Chinatown, where there's so much development going on, you would think that there would be a few extra coins that could be put to catching this otter. However, this otter seemingly doesn't want to be caught. Now, I didn't think that otters were this good at getting away because, like I said, the only otters that I know were on Nickelodeon, PB&J. And those otters didn't seem, one, particularly smart or particularly fast. So, like, hearing that this, you know, has been able to dismember 10 koi fish, surprising. However, it's interesting because there's a story in the CBC today talking about the otters, but from the perspective, not from the perspective of the outside. So I feel like if you have heard about this story on CBC or Vancouver Sun or in any other news outlet, no freaking podcast, or maybe you listen to another show here at CITR and they have talked about the otter, it's usually from the perspective from the outside looking in and rooting for the otter, because we here in Vancouver really like when animals win. And when I say animals, I don't feel like most people consider fish animals, because like when people are like, no, I'm a pescatarian, it's like, okay, why do you feel like you can eat fish? It's because they don't have this type of respect for these creatures that live underwater. And it's probably because we don't understand them, or two, because some fish is delicious. I'm not talking about you people who eat tilapia like terrorists. Tilapia isn't a real fish. However, koi is. And to the people who maintain the koi ponds and the people who enjoy the ponds, the gardens, and the fish, you know, all as an ecosystem and as a representation, as a symbol, this isn't nearly as funny as people feel like it is. Now, I am in the camp that believes that this otter is serving its purpose and providing us with some content that doesn't make you sad, you know? However, learning about the, you know, as it's gotten so severe that the otter has caused the experts to not be able to do anything and have to take the fish from the garden to the Vancouver Aquarium to keep for safety. Now, I didn't know that there's like, there was 10 adult koi fish in there, but there's hundreds of baby koi fish. So they just want to maintain. They just want to be able to maintain, you know, the health of the fish. And so they think that if they take away the food sources, that the otter will go away. My hypothesis is that this otter is smarter than they think, and as soon as they bring the koi fish, he's coming right back for the snacks, which is understandable. That's exactly what I would do. However, one thing I wouldn't do is leave all of the meat on the bone. So if you've ever seen the aftermath of what the otter is leaving behind, he's not even eating all of the fish, which is the most disheartening part of this. He's eating some, taking a big bite out, and tossing it out, which I feel is disrespectful just on a few levels. However, the park will be reopening on Friday. So if you or one of your loved ones would like to, you know, start the December, you know, with a stroll, then you guys should go and check it out. With our last story here in BC, in Surrey, there is a woman who won a council seat, and people are upset because they feel like they were misled by her, as she ran on being a doctor, and what people didn't realize is she was a doctor of naturopathy and not a medical doctor. Now, I feel as if people who are upset about this should probably have just done their research, and maybe they would have a better understanding about what it is. Also, they're complaining because they feel that naturopathy doctors don't go through as much, I guess, rigor, you know, that a medical doctor does. And in that sense, wouldn't make as such a good political climate, political candidate. Now, my rebuttal to that is these people of Surrey just, you know, maybe they should take time and really understand if this woman is the right candidate for the job, not just is she a doctor or is she not a doctor. But the idea that being a doctor makes you a good political candidate. You have to do nothing but look a little further to the south and to the east to Washington, D.C., where Dr. Ben Carson sits as the director for HUD, the Housing in Housing here in Washington, D.C., and he is not only a doctor, but he is one of the top surgeons ever in the United States of America, where he successfully split Siamese twins that they were connected by the brain. And even with that, Ben Carson makes for a shitty politician. So people of Surrey, if you're listening to this, listen, just don't overreact, because this woman may not be a doctor, because it probably doesn't matter. In last Vancouver news, so people all over the world celebrate Christmas in their own ways, and here in the Western Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, Western, whatever. Yeah, Shirley. In the West, celebrate Christmas with Santa Claus. And so here in Vancouver, we have a Jewish Santa. Now, I don't know why this is a news story. However, someone seemed that it would be something worth writing about on the Vancouver Sun. Why I don't think it's a news story is that, one, Jesus himself was Jewish. So it only makes sense that there would be, you know, a Jewish Santa Claus so that he can try to, you know, bring the gifts and the joy, you know, that Jesus did. You know, also, common misconception, Jesus didn't bring a lot of joy. Now, I don't know if that's a misconception or if that's people not knowing the history of Jesus, but he told a lot of people about themselves, and people didn't really like that shit. So that's why they had him. They had to get him out of the way. However, this Jewish Santa is going above and beyond, and he goes above and beyond by learning the language of different ethnicities and kids and speaking to them in their own language so that they can feel accepted by Santa too. Now, that sounds pretty Christmas-like. However, I hope that this Santa isn't stereotyping people, because I can only imagine him walking up to me or my future kid that I do not have and saying Wagwan, because he thinks that maybe we are Jamaican. And I say that in full jest, but understand that people have said that to me on the street for no other reason besides the fact that I have dreadlocks. And it can be mildly offensive. However, you know, Ben Cohen, keep doing up the good work. Listen, we appreciate Santa, no matter what shape, size, creed, or color. As long as you're volunteering your time, not, you know, and handling your Santa Claus business. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on nationally and internationally. Stay tuned.
Cocaine took my drink. It made me lie, steal.
Cocaine took my will, my soul.
And all I wanted was more cocaine. Cocaine Anonymous gave me freedom and saved my life. If you got a problem with cocaine, pick up the phone. We're here to help.
Contact Cocaine Anonymous toll-free by calling 866-662-8300 or find them online at ca-bc.ca.
I'm afraid of what we will be if I will wait some time till
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. That's Vancouver's own Kendra Diaz. You should check out her music on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you find music. YouTube, SoundCloud, wherever, you know. So, as we move into the second half of the show, if you've listened, you know that this is where we get into the real interesting meaty parts. Not that Vancouver news isn't interesting, because if you know me, the animals are really what drive this train. But understanding that there's like so much stuff going on in the world. There is the G20 summit in Argentina. There is just a lot of stuff going on in the world. There's a huge money laundering case that is going on in Europe. Also here in Vancouver, there we have our own money laundering issues starting from 2015, where we have been seeing hundreds of millions of dollars being cleaned here in Vancouver. And it's not a surprise, like thinking about the supercars and the real estate here. We knowing that money laundering is an issue, but it's also an issue all around the world. And when you hear about money laundering, we assume that it is drug money, you know, and drug gambling. It comes from like a nefarious place, particularly out of the capitalistic sphere, you know, that would help to provide services or, you know, maybe just money for, people, you know, as they go to work. But one of the other stories that is not money laundering, but it's similar, where men, I say, like, if you're on Twitter, if you're active on Twitter, or if you check Twitter every once in a while, what you would see or know is that there's a lot of people, men, women, they who say men are trash. And listen, I stopped defending the actions of men many moons ago, because men consistently are performing behavior which would indicate, you know, a level of trashness. Now, one of the things is that we have gone, I guess we have this culture, you know, in, we have this culture where it's not about, like, snitching is bad, particularly calling the police is bad, looked down upon. You know, people do all types of terrible things, particularly with their friends. They witness their friends do all types of terrible things. We talk about sexual assault on this show probably at least 2 times out of every month, probably 4 times out of every month. We talk about sexual assault. We talk about rape. We talk about these things that men do, you know, domestic violence. We're going to get into that later. All of these things that men do. And yet men can try to consistently say that they aren't the problem. So this past week was basically another example of men doing things that are the behavior where we would say this is not cool. I would say, for lack of better words, I wish my job would stop texting me while I'm on the radio. However, men terrorizing sex workers on social media is now a thing. So men are reporting sex workers, women, when I say sex workers, like women who use Snapchat or Instagram to sell pictures of themselves, you know, like sell belfies, or it's a butt selfie, or just nudes, or something, or anyways, you know, or make premium Snapchat videos, do anything on the Snapchat to just make a little bit of money. But men are now reporting them to the IRS. Now, I don't think that has ever been cool, reporting someone to the IRS, but that's what men are doing now. Like, we have shamed many white women on Twitter and Instagram for calling the police on black people, seemingly minding their own damn business, you know, at a cookout, you know, or at the pool, or just hanging out in the street. You know, we have put them through the ringer, rightfully so, because they shouldn't be calling the police on black people minding their own damn business. Should be none of your business what we do. However, I don't understand why this is a thing. Like, it doesn't make sense to bait women into, they're providing a service and you're baiting them so that you could send the IRS on them. I don't know. I feel like if I knew anybody who sent the IRS on them, I would, you know, call the IRS on any woman who's, you know, on Snapchat or doing whatever they do. I would have to find something that person does illegal and to call the police on them, because I feel like there's got to be some type of consequences for that. Just, I don't know what the word is, but it's just bad behavior. Like, I couldn't be friends with somebody like that. I can't be friends with people whose first resort is to call the police in the first place. The second is to call the IRS. I just feel like that person is just waiting for an opportunity to dime me out so that they could, you know, hit on my girlfriend or something sinister. Those people probably have nothing good coming to them. Also, these people who are probably calling the IRS on their friends, I mean, on their, on these women, one, probably stream videos. They probably, engage in some type of illegal menaced activity that they wouldn't want people to know about. And it's just weird that people are willing to call the police on women who are selling pictures on Snapchat, but they won't call the police on their friend who they know, who admittedly, you know, waits for women to get too intoxicated and then tries to have sex with them, or, you know, their friend who steals, you know, small amounts of things from store, or steals from work, or something like that. It doesn't, just doesn't make any sense. But thank you guys for contributing to the Men Are Trash. You know, it's making us all look bad. Just shut the hell up and, you know, handle your business in private. So, as we talk about some other things that men are doing, like, I don't come on this show particularly to bash my own people, but listen, you gotta call them out, like, when people are doing dumb shit. Like, the Redskins this week signed linebacker Reuben Foster, who was cut by the 49ers for allegedly committing his second act of domestic violence on and off again girlfriend in Tampa Bay, Florida. So Reuben Foster has had a few cases where he has been committed of he has been charged with domestic violence. The first one was dropped, but this one caused the 49ers to drop him. And now, if you listen to John Lynch's comments, John Lynch, he's the president of the 49ers football club. And now, if you listen to his comments about why he cut Reuben Foster, he never seems to mention the fact that he committed domestic violence. She talks about behavior detrimental to the team. Now, I understand how that could be detrimental to the team because Foster is not going to be there. But the NFL has particularly been trying to change or align its image with this like reconciliation of domestic violence and how we can do our part to stop it. But what they didn't do in that is set like a hard line example about what are the consequences. And if you're good enough, then you can still make the team, which is what the Redskins said to Reuben Foster. But we shouldn't be surprised because this is the same team who signed Gallant from being cut after he committed his domestic violence. He beat a woman in New Orleans, and New Orleans immediately cut him. And Junior Gallant was then picked up by the Washington Redskins again. Now, Washington Redskins, a trash organization where 11 years ago, Sean Taylor, he was killed in his own home while he was home resting or rehabbing from an injury. And he is a DC legend. When I mean a legend, like I remember growing up, and I feel like this was like right when YouTube came out and just watching videos of Sean Taylor. Mind you, I had like hated the Redskins growing up. And I still do. But for me, he was like a superhero. Like no matter what, that's who you wanted to be like. And so Dan Snyder decided that on Sunday it would be a good day to not only sign a domestic abuser, but to also sell dolls with Sean Taylor's likeness on them. Now, I don't think it would have been hit with such backlash had the family of Sean Taylor, you know, have been able to be compensated by the plush dolls that were being sold. But Dan Snyder, knowing Dan Snyder, he would never give up any part of profit that could be squeezed out of people's pain and misery. And that's what he wanted to do. So it doesn't surprise me that the Washington Football Club is the team that would have committed this, that would have signed him. But it's interesting that the NFL allows this in general, because we have seen what it takes to be banned from the NFL, and it has nothing to do with how you treat people, how you treat women, or even if you're a murderer. So if you kneel for the national anthem and you talk about the systematic oppression of black people, you will be barred from football. But if you beat women, you can get another job the next day. It doesn't send a good message. Or to the other players, to the teams, or to the fans. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened this past Thanksgiving and go into some other interesting stories for the last 5 minutes.
Cover your eyes.
Hey, back with us being Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver radio station. And so last Thanksgiving, we were talking a little bit about the NFL. And so if you know the NFL, Thanksgiving, they pretty much own the day. You watch football from the time you wake up to the time that you finish your last meal, and even post-nap football. And so in Cary, North Carolina, there was a man who shot his son over the NFL protest. So what happened was they were eating at Thanksgiving dinner. Two sons started to argue about the NFL protest. The dad tried to break up the fight and ended up shooting the son as he left. Now, I do not know whether the shooting was deserved because it doesn't talk about the stances in which these people were residing on. However, what I do know is that there was a gunman involved, and it seems ridiculous that someone shot his son over the NFL argument. However, power to the people. Let them decide. Make them make their own decisions. And so in 2 minutes, I'll wrap up three stories. Now, I'm sorry I didn't give these proper time length. However, last year in Charlottesville, we knew that there was a alt-right, I don't know what you call it, like a assembly. And there were counter-protesters who were protesting against the white nationalist, white supremacist group led by Richard Spencer. And that day, a man ran over Heather Heyer and killing her and injuring numerous other counter-protesters who were there to protest against white supremacy. And today, they're picking the jury for that man, and they're having a hard time. And while they're having a hard time, Richard Spencer says he doesn't want white nationalist movement seen as violent, and fuck Richard Spencer, because white nationalism is inherently violent. We'd like to think of like racism as, there's no way racism can be nonviolent, because the act and the idea that, you know, one, we live on this stolen land where it was taken with violence, and it's very crazy to me that white supremacists particularly always want to be seen as nonviolent when they wouldn't even be able to exist without the violence. It's like someone stealing from you and then telling you that stealing is bad, and you know that stealing is bad, but who gives a shit about what this person thinks because they stole it in the first place? Racism is seen in everywhere. So we see that it's a police chief in Florida is sentenced to only 3 years for framing black men. So he put numerous people behind bars on false claims, you know, and planting drugs and evidence, and it was proven, and he only got 3 years. And I think that that is 100% bullshit. And we talked about this story a little bit last week, but there happened another shooting happened where a man, black man, was shot at an Alabama mall. His name is Emantic Bradford Jr. And so he was at the scene of, at the mall where there was an active shooter, and this individual shot an 8-year-old girl and an 18-year-old boy, man, and then ran away. And then when the police got to the mall, Emantic, who had his concealed carry and his weaponry on him, was then shot down by the police. Yet another example of how the Second Amendment isn't made for black people or people who appear black. That is the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in with me for the net past hour. We do this every Thursday here on CITR.ca 101.9. And if you like that, you can always listen to past episodes and future ones. Have a good day.